Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is This Week in YouTube, episode 19, recorded August 19th, 2013. PewDiePie becomes number one. This Week in YouTube is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting, pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one pooled plan. To save $25 off your first Ting device, visit twiyt.ting.com. That's twiyt.ting.com. And by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymous and unfiltered. For 20% off your new account, visit proxpn.com/twit and use the offer code TWIYT. Hello and welcome to This Week in YouTube. I'm Chad Johnson. Always, every single week, we are joined by the awesome, the great, the talented Lamar Wilson. How you doing?
Stop. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
How's your week been?
Week has actually been good. I'm recovering my voice, as you can hear.
You sound so much better.
Yeah, thank you. I think each week is I'm getting stronger, and then one day I'll take over the world. But until then, yeah, I'm doing good, though.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks. Well, if you're just tuning into this show for the first time, this is a show where we talk all about YouTube. It's sort of from a creator's perspective, by creators for creators. So thanks for tuning in and joining us on this show. This week, we have a great special guest.
But.
Suspense.
Before we introduce him.
Oh, you're right.
But.
So this week, there's a little bit of cool news that we want to share with you guys. You know him. If you've been on YouTube, you have at some point bumped into Phil DeFranco. And so we have a cool little bit of his life to share with you over the weekend. When did this happen?
Over this weekend
in front of thousands, maybe hundreds of people. He got on stage with his girlfriend of 6 years.
He's reaching.
I can't imagine how anyone could do this.
Then there it is.
He proposed to his girlfriend of 6 years. Amazing. And
the goosebumps are going everywhere.
Congratulations to Phil DeFranco. This is really, really
cool. Phil DeFranco,
Lindsay.
Yep. 6 years, man.
I cannot, oh, man. One. So cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Like you said, I mean, just raises the hair on your arms. And second, I can't imagine not only the excitement and nervousness of just proposing, but doing it in front of a huge crowd. It's just a really cool moment to watch.
He brought her parents out. She didn't know about it, and so. You know, this is such a good story because 6 years, Phil wasn't popular or she stuck with him the whole time. So it's like this is the girl for him, obviously, you know, because now that he's a millionaire and, you know, none of that matters. She stuck with him through all his ups and downs, and he's a great guy. So I just wanted to congratulate him before we started the show.
Yeah. Very, 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 very right. Cool. So, man. Good luck to you, Phil, and see you around the net, you know.
Yes.
But this week we have an awesome, awesome guest joining us for a discussion of the YouTube news and things that have happened throughout the week. It is my pleasure to introduce Benny Liu. Benny, how are you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. So, if for people who haven't seen you around the web, what is a brief description of who you are and what you've done so far?
Yeah. Well, before I start, Philip DeFranco is also a personal friend of mine, so I like to extend my personal congratulations to him. I mean, he's done so much for the space, and he's always been a huge supporter, you know, of our site and everything. So, you know, hats off to him and congratulations.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So I'm Benny Liu. You may know me as the founder of NewMediaRockStars.com. And, what I did when I was at that company was we covered a lot on YouTube, new media, and industry news. And, so.
Perfect. So, here, Lamar, I'll let you take the first question.
Yeah, so I've always been interested in New Media Rockstars. It's definitely one of my favorite publications, and you are always great on there. When it was born, what was your goal of the site? Like, where were you trying to take it? Because obviously, you all cover the YouTube space very heavily. Was that your intention when you started, or did it just kind of happen that YouTube was this thing that, oh, we better cover this?
Well, for me, my background is in internet marketing. So before, you know, all this stuff happened, I was kind of an internet marketing consultant for various companies. Some of the brands I worked with were MGM and Billboard. So I've always been, you know, heavily involved in, you know, the internet scene. But it wasn't really until I kind of got together with my college friend, Melly Lee, whom you guys would probably know too. We kind of got together, and we had another partner at the time, and all three of us started this site called TheOtherAsians.com, and that website was a blog that focused on covering Asian Americans that were in non-stereotypical careers. So naturally, it featured a lot of entertainers, which led to featuring a lot of YouTubers like Aja Raphael, David Choi, Just Kidding Films, who are all, you know, big, prominent YouTubers. And that was kind of the first time we started kind of getting on that scene. And the more we got into it, the more we kind of connected with these YouTubers. We kind of saw the rapid growth of it. And for me, we just had a hunch that said like, you know, hey, this could be the next, you know, big thing in entertainment. And I remember during the summer of 2011, I believe, I was trying to sleep one night. I couldn't sleep. And I was thinking, hey, there really isn't a site covering, you know, YouTube artists, because, you know, yeah, you know, Asian Americans are prominent on YouTube, but there's so many other big YouTubers like Smosh, Ray William Johnson, and, you know, what have you. And so I was thinking, yeah, I mean, I tried searching online, I couldn't really find a site that really covered YouTube specifically. So initially, YouTube, the idea of NMR was to start a site, you know, featuring and profiling these YouTube celebrities and kind of showcasing them in a professional manner and treating them essentially like celebrities. Like, we do a professional photo shoot with them, we do an in-depth interview, and I feel that, you know, they would really appreciate it. And I think that it would help not only just the industry as a whole, but also creators that are looking to, you know, turn to social media and YouTube to build their brand and, you know, help, you know, their artistic ventures and stuff like that.
Yeah, I gotta say, I had one of the photo shoots done, and I was not expecting that. I was expecting a simple interview. It was the first organization to do it. You came all out and set up a set in my house and did a video and written interviews. They were very professional, and it just kind of solidified in me how much I enjoyed the site. So, good job with that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting road, and I'm definitely happy that every interview we do, most of the time, the person that we interview is always like, hey, those are the best photos we've ever done. That's the best interview we've ever done. And even the fans enjoy it, too, because they get a piece of something that that they've never seen before from their favorite YouTuber, YouTube creator, and what have you. Mm-hmm.
So why is the YouTube space so important for you guys to cover? Did you see something there that you hadn't seen anywhere else?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, just full disclosure, I actually, left NMR about two months ago for my own personal reasons. But when we first initially started, it was more so like kind of half passion project, and also us seeing like, you know, rapid growth in the space. For us, the way we saw it was, or the way I saw it was that, look, you know, people like Smosh and Ray William Johnson, Ryan Higa, Kev Jumba, all these guys, they have like so many, such a big audience on YouTube. And why is no one else covering this space heavily? I mean, this can be potentially a huge industry. I mean, with all the other entertainment sites out there that you see, like that you see that are covering, like people like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and whatnot. But what happens when these guys like age, right? I mean, once you guys age, like then these other traditional media sites are going to struggle to stay relevant. So I felt that, you know, I kind of took a gamble that, you know, these creators are going to be the future, and they're really appealing to the younger generation. And once these guys grow older, they're not going to know who Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie is. You know, they're going to know, you know, the Ryan Higas, the Roy William Johnsons, and everything. So I really thought that it was important to really jump on that opportunity before you know, anybody else would.
Cool. Now I see that you blog independently on your site now, and I love it. You're continuing in the space. So, but I wanted to ask you, since you're still part of it and you're still very important, what are some of the mistakes that you see creators make out here? Like, what would you tell them to stop it?
Stop
whatever
it.
They do.
Oh, man. I mean, there's just so many. I mean, I think that there really isn't, like, a main thing. But I feel that a lot of the YouTubers are aspiring YouTubers. You know, they make that leap of faith to come out here. But I don't really feel like they have a solid plan in terms of, like, you know, they'll come up and be like, hey, I want to create this channel. I want to be big on YouTube and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, the main factor in creating great content, the main premise is, you know, being passionate in what you're creating. And I think that, you know, the way that great content works on the internet is to appeal to like a niche market and then like slowly expand from there. And I think that, you know, in order for any YouTuber to really find initial success, they really need to figure out what are they passionate about? What do they want to share with the world? And it's especially hard with, it's especially hard with all this noise nowadays. I mean, YouTube is, you know, growing bigger and bigger. I mean, I think sometime a couple months ago, they reported that they have 1 billion unique users now and everything. So I think that that's definitely a big thing. And I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I would see YouTubers making.
Perfect. Well, yeah. I'm so glad that we have you on today's show. Coming up, we have PewDiePie becoming the most subscribed person on YouTube, and D-Storm talking about tips that people like you and me, creators, can use. But first, I want to thank Ting, Ting.com. Ting is the no BS mobile phone service for you. What does Ting offer? Well, truly and completely contract-free mobile phone service. No early termination fees or other BS. You get to choose from the things that are obvious for mobile phone providers to give you, like voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspotting, three-way calling, call forwarding, and all the other features with no extra add-on charges. So here's how it works. You head on over to Ting, order your first device, and it will be shipped to you within 2 to 5 business days. Then you will activate your device on Ting, and you have the option to select a new phone number or port an existing one. And Ting will break down your rates based out of minutes, text message, megabytes, and bill you at the end of the month for what you have used. So visit TWIYT.Ting.com to save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. You can check out their savings calculator to see how much you and your company can save. And this week in YouTube, viewers also have an extra savings, $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. So visit TWIYT.Ting.com and get started today. And we thank Ting for their support of this week in YouTube.
All right. So now we have some of the greatest news that has happened this weekend, I guess, that everybody's buzzing about. But gamer PewDiePie, as we've talked about him before, has now surpassed Smosh as the number one YouTube site. Number one most subscribed. He's not a YouTube site. he's on the YouTube site. So, yeah, it becomes the most subscribed channel. Now, if you don't know who PewDiePie is, he's a very animated gamer. And he's also, like, pushed off to, like, doing some vlogs and skits and some other things, which his audience may or may not like. But his growth has been phenomenal. Like, literally 50,000 plus subscribers a day, just killing it. And we all saw this moment coming, didn't we, Chad? It's like we knew he was gonna be number one. So he doesn't want to, you know, he's 23 years old, Swedish gamer, and he's been doing this since, I think he said, 2010.
He's been rising forever and incredible amounts. I mean, I believe on the TubeFilter article, they were mentioning that he gets, let me completely make sure that I'm getting this right. 54,000 subscribers per day, 2,171 per hour. If you break that down, that is a new subscriber every 1.6 seconds.
And he's not slowing down.
And he's not slowing down. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of amazing.
We've never seen anything like this. I mean, you know, Smosh and Ray William Johnson kind of went back and forth, and you know, and Jenna Marbles is rising, but I just feel like he just came out of nowhere and just took it over. And so I'm curious. I wanted to ask Benny, what do you think about this rise of the gamer on YouTube? This is an odd category to be number one on YouTube.
You know, it's actually really funny. I remember I was actually sitting with a friend who's also a YouTuber, and we were at his house, and I've never seen a PewDiePie video before at the time. And so, you know, we were talking, and he was telling me, I think this guy's going to be number one in, you know, a couple months or something. And I'm like, really? I mean, but it's just a gaming channel. Like, why? And so he's like, well, let's sit down and watch it. And so I forgot which video that we watched in particular. But, you know, when the first couple minutes, a couple seconds in, I was just kind of like, okay. But then it didn't really take long for me that I realized that I was actually starting to get interested in his videos, in the video. Like, it basically, I guess, how it works is you kind of go through the game as he's playing it and commenting on it and stuff like that. But you actually really, truly get into it, and you like his commenting and everything. And next thing you know, it's like 40 minutes has passed, and we're still, like, watching, you know, his video. So we were like, whoa, what just happened? So, I mean, I don't know exactly, but I think that it's interesting with gaming channels because, you know, a lot of these games, especially if you guys are reviewing, you know, a cool game with a nice storyline and everything, and you kind of get into the storyline, and they're starting to get more and more interesting. So I think that it's, in a sense, kind of like, I don't know if watching a movie is the right analogy, but to me, it felt like I was watching a movie. I was really getting, you know, kind of into it. I was entertained. And, you know, so I think that that's why they do well on YouTube. I mean, a lot of my friends are starting gaming channels right now. I mean, I think my friend David Choi, he started a gaming channel. Justin Films, they also started a gaming channel. So, you know, that has been the talk.
Yeah. Do you think it's the game that attracts people, or really the extended vlogging that they do? And they hate to call themselves vloggers, so they don't. I know gamers don't do that, but is it them just telling a story on top of the game, or is it really about the game? In your opinion.
I think it's both, but I think it's more so the creator talking over it, because in a sense, anybody can just play a game and just kind of, you know, play over it. I mean, but I think that, you know, the creators that are actually commenting and telling a story from their perspective and, you know, cracking jokes, like, sometimes, and showing us, you know, Easter eggs and everything, I really think that really adds to the experience and really sets everything apart. And I think that's essentially why we fall in love with creators. We fall in love with them because of their personalities, and we get an interesting point of view from them. And, you know, and going back to the passion thing, I mean, these guys are passionate at what they do, and they're passionate in, you know, the games and stuff like that. So, you know, they're going to have really cool and interesting things to say, and people are drawn to passion. So I really think that, you know, that's a huge part of it.
Cool.
Awesome. Now, do you think that this is worrying people at YouTube that gamers are the ones who are rising? I mean, we've seen – here, let me go ahead and put that – we've seen that YouTube.
That's what you watch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why you go to watch.
That's why
you
have 12
videos.
Million subscribers. Right?
Exactly. we've seen that YouTube has tried to push sort of a more corporate edge, or wanting everything to be a little bit more polished. We've seen this with them putting money into channels, into premium channels, into trying to get movies on the site so that you can rent and buy movies with channels that you have to spend money to subscribe with. Do you think that YouTube is excited about this, or do you think they don't care, or do you think that they worry about this?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, you've seen that YouTube, you know, it's no secret that YouTube has been trying to go to more of a legitimate route. I mean, especially with, let's say, the recent Comedy Week, where they're trying to bring in traditional celebrities and what have you. And also the funded channels, I think a year or 2 years ago, on creating more premium and quality content on their site. I mean, I think that I wouldn't I, it would bet on YouTube not thinking that it's worrisome. I mean, in hindsight, it does help grow their site, but I could also see them worrying in a sense where, you know, they don't want their site to be known as just gaming videos or cat videos and stuff like that. So, you know, I could see kind of both sides. I mean, I think that, you know, part of them would kind of see that, you know, this may hurt essentially our legitimacy with, you know, the big corporations and whatnot. I mean, except the gamers, obviously. But ultimately, for me, you know, I would say, look, YouTube is so huge. I mean, a billion unique users a month. I mean, I don't think that even though gaming makes up a big chunk of it, there's so much more different industries that's you know, large and keeps continuing growing. Like, you know, the comedy, music. You know, beauty and everything. I don't think those categories are dying anytime soon.
Cool. Because YouTube has such a big swath of content, you don't think they're worried that their top person, he's you know, truly not even 1% of what's getting watched on YouTube. I could see that.
Yeah.
So next up, Forbes did an article with D-Storm talking to him about his rise and some of the techniques that he's used. And on top of that, some financial stuff near the end. It's something that we've known of for a long time, that collaborations are great. And that's what he mentioned was the reason that he got so big in the beginning, that even when he was at 5,000 to 20,000 subscribers, he would try to do collaborations with people of his same sort of rank in number. And then, of course, as he moved on to 50,000, he would try to do that as well, and more on and more and more on. Is this just, you know, same? We've heard this before in Gray Forest, or you know, do we think that there's something new? And it's really cool that we can see him, like he's the one preaching this, and it seems to really work. Lamar, go ahead and you take this one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was like, in the days. I think it's the same old. He's a good use case. You know, number one, he's a minority on YouTube, and there's not that many. And I'm just being realistic. So, you know, it's always a good story to have, you know, to have the nice guy, the guy who used to be a clean rapper, who used to do funny parodies, and look at where he's come. So, you know, anyone could do it. And I think everything he says is correct. I think it's a lot harder now than what it was in the beginning to get yourself seen. So collaborations are 100% must. If you don't do them, you know, unless you're just happen to be British and hot, you're dead. that's just kind of the thing. And, you know, he also credited his network with Big Frame. And full disclosure, I used to be part of Big Frame. And one point he mentioned was that out of, you know, they have about 300 people, and whenever he will put out a video, you know, everyone, as he said in the article, will like and favorite each other's videos to help each other out. And I'm very kindly calling bull on that one, because I don't know if any of those top people who ever said, hey, Lamar, I want to like your video, every single one that you put out, because I want to help you. Mm-hmm. I think that's what networks should do. And he may have a amount of people in the network that does it, but certainly not everyone. That would be a great thing, I think, if the networks really banded together and made sure people cross-promoted each other. But realistically, yeah, you know, I don't see it.
Are you signed with Ray right now, Lamar?
No, I'm not. I'm not signed with him. Yeah, I'm not.
A network. Are you signed with the network in general?
I am. I keep it quiet right now. Yeah,
of course.
Just because I don't, because I do this show, I don't want to seem like I'm promoting a network. So
got it.
Yeah, so I just want to be fair about that. But yeah, I mean, people know. I just
keep it
neutral.
But when you know, it says in the article, you know, working with Big Frame has put him at a huge advantage, because all 300 users in the network will like, favorite each other's videos. So you don't, you're not seeing that so much. Big Frame doesn't.
I don't know, but you know, they're excellent. They're excellent people, and maybe there's some of that going on. But you know, the article is really about, you know, how to make money, and we talked a little bit about that last week. But you know, he gets a lot of brand deals that are able to, like, once you start getting brand deals that are $20,000-$30,000, you don't really care about AdSense and all that. I mean, he's getting some key deals that are that are helping him out further his career. So I think, you know, it's great. He worked hard. Like, he took a pay cut and, like, just worked on YouTube for a year straight and took some losses, and it paid off. So to me, you know, it's like, you know, the sacrifice has to be made. So many people come in. Benny, I know you can agree. They come in like, oh, actually, you said earlier, they come in and thinking, oh, I can get big on YouTube. But, you know, what's the shortcut? What is your secret? What is your tip? And the tip is to be patient and just perfect your craft and stop trying to look for a shortcut.
Yeah, they are not. Yeah, I think that even with, on that note, even with Mr. Guitar Man, I think it took him like 2 years of hard work living on ramen noodles, sleeping on the floor to, you know, make it to where he is today. And even his time, that was the time when YouTube isn't as big as today yet. And, you know, you can see how much sacrifices that the guy has made. So,
yeah. Now, do you think that just if anyone steps up to the plate and makes those sacrifices that they can make it, or do you think that there's a cut above the rest and that yes, that's part of the process, but they still need to be great?
I mean, I think that it's kind of the same as, you know, coming to Hollywood to try to be the next movie star. I mean, obviously everybody's going to make sacrifices and everything, and obviously being in entertainment, you know, trying to make it big as an artist, it's going to be difficult. And obviously, you can never guarantee somebody success, but I know for a fact that, you know, the factors that takes to succeed is, you know, being different, being really passionate of what you do, and, you know, making sacrifices to take the risk to see whether, you know, you can be the next biggest thing. So
great. Well, coming up next, good point. We're going to ask you, Benny, for a YouTube tip to give our audience. It could be a feature on the YouTube site. It could be a state of mind. It could be a tool that you really want people to know about.
Or all your secrets that you know.
Are you prepared for the challenge?
Yes.
Okay, great. Definitely. Well, before we do that, let me thank our second sponsor for today's episode, ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network. Basically, the way to easily think about it is that it creates a secure tunnel between you and where your internet is coming out. On their end, it comes out through servers either in the U.S., the U.K., Asia, tons and tons more. This will help protect you from a whole bunch of different scenarios. First, maybe your own ISP with its six strikes rule. Make sure that your own ISP isn't snooping on your internet. Surfing the internet on an open Wi-Fi connection at a McDonald's or any other sort of public Wi-Fi hotspot. ProXPN makes your internet connection truly region-free, so you won't get those stupid, this video is not available in your country messages anymore. And ProXPN also works with your iOS or Android device, allowing you to use your data plan and, of course, still roam those Wi-Fi networks or even your corporate Wi-Fi network in total privacy. So there's even a new ProXPN app for Android in the Google Play Store that supports OpenVPN now, so you don't have to use PPTP. But you can, of course, if you want, because that is all bundled in with ProXPN. So head on over to proxpn.com/twit for more information to sign up. ProXPN premium accounts normally cost $9.95 a month or $74.95 for an entire year. But we have a special offer for you. Use code TWIYT and receive 20% off the lifetime of your account. That's less than $5 a month if you get the yearly plan. So if you're not satisfied, of course, you can cancel within 7 days for a full refund. But head on over to proxpn.com/twit and sign up with the offer code TWIYT to receive 20% off those new accounts. Thank you so much, ProXPN, for your support of Twit and this show this week in YouTube. Okay, Benny, you ready for that tip? What can you lay on our viewers to let them to help them out in their pursuits of YouTube?
Yeah, I've actually given this advice, this tip, like a couple times during panels already, but I'm gonna give it again because I think not many people know about it yet, and because it's so useful. But I don't know if you guys know, like about, I think 8 months ago, you know, there was all this controversy around Facebook saying that, you know, your fans, your posts on your fan pages aren't going to reach out to, you know, all your audiences, and engagement and reach is down by 40% and whatnot. So, you know, the hunch is that right now the Facebook algorithms kind of change. So basically when you promote a link, that links outside of Facebook, you know, your reach is going to be decreased, which equals to, you know, less click-throughs and engagement and everything. So one way to kind of like, I guess, hack it is, let's say if you're promoting like a YouTube video, right? And let's say you have like 1,000 fans or everything. Instead of just uploading, putting the link and letting it populate with all the metadata, what you should do is take a big screenshot of like the video, upload it as a photo, and then put the link as a status update on top of that. So what happens is Facebook is going to see that as, oh, this is a picture uploaded on our site and it's internal content, and it's going to up your reach. And on top of that, since pictures take up a lot more real estate on the public news feed than the YouTube video link, you're going to get a higher click there. And you can actually, and I've actually tested this with a few big YouTubers, and some have reported up to an 800%, like literally 800% increase in engagement and reach. And you know, if you guys even want to just go to any random YouTuber site right now, if you look at their pictures, their engagement and reach on their pictures compared to just links that are linking outside, you'll see that their engagement is much higher. Like right on the bottom, I think you can see like how many people have liked it, and how many people has. Yeah, I know you're on somebody's.
Yeah, account. I'm on my own, and this truly, I'm really bad with updating Facebook. So. I don't even know if anyone ever even liked or commented on these, but you can see that these are just links, and you're right. The real estate is really, really bad, for these links to specific things, but photos, wow. You know, you get so much real estate.
Look at your engagement on them too.
I mean, yeah, like you're right. You know, if you go up for these links, not a single person, I got one like on this one, but if I go to the photos, I have, 46 people saw this post, you know, and a whole bunch of, you know, likes on a few of these. You're absolutely right that it looks like photos are the way to go. Just upload an internal photo of the video that you made.
Yeah, I want to 100% agree with you, because when I just take my thumbnail that I've uploaded to YouTube and I put that on Facebook and I put the link. I've been testing this also for a few months, so I'm here to validate for you that the clicks are much higher because it's not embedded. And then sometimes what I'll do is, once I've done that, the next day or maybe 2 days after, depending on my frequency in my videos, then I'll do the regular embed of that way I'm not double posting the exact same way, and I might catch some people, you know, in a different way. So you're right, it works. And I mean, Facebook keeps trying to put us down, so we got to come up, man. We got to beat the man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect. That's a great tip. So go ahead and upload your photos to Facebook and get much, much more engagement. So that's about wrapping it up for this episode of This Week in YouTube. Lamar, what have you been up this past week with your channel? What are the things you've been working on?
Just trying to get my – I'm about to go on fire and try to get the format together. This Saturday, I released a video at 6 a.m., which turned out to be a very good idea.
Really? Is that a good time to upload your videos?
I was told by one of the people I work with that on a Saturday, it's a really good time if you're on the West Coast. So that's just one little tip. It a lot of people hit the video. It was a vlog based video, and I was just doing a product review of a controller. I let a friend use it, went to his house, and just kind of vlogged it. And it was a nice experience. People really liked the video, so I want to do more of those. And so I'm working on some cool videos for this week. And stay tuned. Stay tuned for those.
Very, very cool. So, Benny, what have you been up to this last week? And also, what are your future projects? And then I'll do one more. You have some more plugging to do after that. So what have you been up to this last week, and what can we look forward to in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so I definitely still want to be involved in the online video stage, which is why I still, you know, have my personal blog. And I don't intend to do anything big with that blog. I just want it to be kind of like a resource where creators and industry folks can still kind of, you know, dive into my mind a little bit and maybe hopefully learn more about the industry based on my perspective and my experiences and everything. But I do have some cool projects that I'm launching. The first one is a online magazine that I'm going to launch. I believe it's going to be next week, early next week, actually. So it's called Next Shark. It's going to be at nextshark.com. And no, I didn't get that name off of Shark Tank. But basically, think of Forbes magazine, think of Business Insider, but much more trendy, vibrant, less corporate looking. You know, we're going to be interviewing like more creative type entrepreneurs, as opposed to, you know, all the tech guys that have been covered to death. So, you know, we would love to interview people like, you know, Pharrell Williams. We're actually going to be doing a cool interview with one of the original co-founders of Apple. And so I thought you know, that'll be interesting too.
And that's then really we cool. Go ahead. Yeah. Keep going.
And we also just finished an interview with a guy named Freeway Rick Ross. And if you guys don't know who he is, he's probably one of the most notorious drug dealers like in American history. Like, this guy was incarcerated back in the 1980s, and the judge valued him at $600 million in the 1980s. So this guy had thousands of like drug dealers that were under him. And so we did an interview with him, and we just simply talked to him about, like, you know, the things he's learned on the streets, what are some lessons that he's learned on the streets that can resonate to, you know, building a successful business today? Because, you know, managing a bunch of drug dealers that could kill you at any time or telling you at any time is not easy at all.
And so, where can people find that?
They can find it at, it's going to be on neckshark.com.
Perfect.
So, they can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/neckshark. So, you know, obviously we're going to have like really nice photos. I'm actually partnering up with my old partner, Melly Lee, for that. And my friend Sean Willis, who does a lot of the music videos for, you know, Sam Sui, Kirk Hugo Schneider, and Max Schneider. So we're going to have a really cool YouTube channel as well. I'm really excited to see him build our YouTube content. And we really want to appeal to this like new generation of like young entrepreneurs, not just age-wise, but just anybody that, you know, is starting a business for the first time. Like, you know, that's it doesn't just mean like it's like a numbers thing. So that's probably one of the projects I'm doing. And the second one that I'm doing is actually, you guys and creators might be interested in, is basically I'm going to be doing a crowdfunding and new media conference that's going to be happening January of next year, actually, this coming January. So the project's called Discover Me. You can find it at discovermeand we're definitely going to be looking to, have it be a destination for, you know, people interested in crowdfunding or wanting to learn more about crowdfunding. And we're going to be introducing some of the big people that have made a lot of money off crowdfunding, like Brian Fargo, who raised $8 million off of Kickstarter, and Julie from Ouya, who also raised over $8.5 million on her Android gaming platform. So I thought it would be really cool. Yeah.
That's perfect. Okay, right. So and then finally, where can people find you if they want to follow what you're doing?
They want to follow. Oh, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's on my it's on this thing below me. What's this thing called again?
The lower third. Chiron, lower if you're going to be crazy.
Yeah. The lower third. So, you know, you can follow me at Benny Lou, BennyLuo, not LOU. I know people always, you know, get that mixed up. And obviously, you can follow my blog if you guys are interested in, you know, checking out my thoughts on the YouTube space, the new media space, you know, BennyLuo.com. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Excellent.
So this last week, I have finally gotten back onto the YouTube train. And
yes, you did.
Just recently, I uploaded like 5 videos in a row within a few seconds of each other, which was a really bad idea. But I'm continuing. Go ahead.
No, I'm not. I'll talk to you after the show about that.
Oh, my God. I spammed everyone's
5 videos in one day out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, they're all so. I'm helping stream. I'm big into Minecraft, so I'm helping stream our Minecraft tournament. It's probably the most professional Minecraft tournament out there, RMCT, and we had a big weekend, so I uploaded them all kind of at once just to kind of get them all out there, because it's not really my content, it's kind of their content, and so I just kind of put it all up there. But I did realize right after I hit publish on all 5 of those episodes that, yeah, probably destroyed someone's subscription box.
At least you know it got to them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Other than that, I've been doing some Let's Plays and stuff like that. So that's what has been going on for me. Thank you, the viewer, for watching this week in YouTube. We do this show every Monday around 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's about 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch us live if you want to at live.twit.tv around that time. But make sure that you subscribe at youtube.com/TWIYT. And you can, of course, comment on our latest video or give us a video response. And we always love that, and we'll try to play it if we can. Try to keep those video responses to 30 seconds or less to make sure that it gets on the show. Thank you, everyone, for watching so far. Thank you so much to Benny Lou for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.